At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
A fear for this generation.
Yeah, it's like Alan says, mate. It's just all about how can I go viral and like monetize the shit out of this video that I just created.
Is this a soft plug into my mini viral hit?
Great segue, mate. Straight into your 1 million views. By the way, this is like
1.2 now.
1.2, lad. This is strong. You tell us all about it.
Do you know what? Because of the magic of video editing, I'll just pop it on.
How is this not a free kick? Right? The ball doesn't go out and he just clatters the legs. Nope. That's a foul. The fuck?
There you go. Boom. How amazing was that tweet?
Right, brilliant.
What a great tweet, Eddie.
Yeah, but no, man, I can't believe you're not going to get anything out of it, though.
If you're watching this video right now because you've seen Smithy's tweet and underneath he said, come and watch this channel, welcome along. Thank you for joining us.
Well, what were you on about blue tick? Because I'm really not too sure what you were talking about.
With Twitter, you need a blue tick for any kind of monetization.
You've got to pay Elon Musk before he gives you back a fraction of the money that you paid him.
And you've got to constantly use the platform, to get paid on every view you get.
If you had that blue tick, what would have happened?
With that one, probably I would have gotten about £6.
£6 for a million views is mad. Elon, you are on a tight motherfucker.
Like I said, I'm not that worried if I don't, and that's why I don't do a lot of plugging or self promo. People will naturally find Sunland content and find this channel if they really want to like get along with Sunland fans. And also, by the way, great shirt.
Oh, thanks, mate. I got it for Christmas. So
great choice.
The story of the shirt is it went on because I'm a Chiefs guy. I didn't pay full price for it when it came out, but it went on sale Black Friday. And I went and bought it, and then I gave it to Stace. So I was like, give me some Christmas Day. Excuse me. The first run out, because I was supposed to get in the game yesterday, but I was deathly ill. As you can just tell by that minging cough I've got. So I was going to wear this yesterday at the game, but I couldn't go. So instead, this is mate, literally fresh out of the box, this bad boy. Look at that.
Oh, beautiful. You've done the traditional dad thing for Christmas there, haven't you? I'm buying my own present. I will be happy with this present.
Exactly right. But look, listen, I don't want socks. Awesome. Like, just get me this shirt. Mate, £40 for this is an absolute bargain. Like, this is heritage, just like quality.
On that, then, what did you
to my wife? Like, shout out to Stacey.
She might be appearing later on when she's done her hair.
She's done her hair. Stacey, you done your hair? Yeah, do you want to come on in then? Are you coming on in? Coming in. She's coming in.
Fantastic. We're getting the sweepstake view of the in a Sunland kit as well.
This is like, you know, like a few weeks ago when Davey suddenly brought Ben online. Do you remember that?
Magic.
Say hello, Steve. Can you hear it?
Yes. Hello. Merry Christmas. Hi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Do you want you've got the honours of being the first female guest on the podcast.
I am truly honoured.
Yeah. And fully donned in Sunland kit as well. True Macam.
Same badge.
Yeah. Birthday present.
I got that exact shirt for Christmas as well. The away one. The away one. It made its way to Southern Australia.
I had to go and buy it myself. Seems like some sort of theme in our house.
Buy your own present and you'll not be upset. Also, what's the mini badges?
What's the mini badge?
The football league.
It looks like an ambulance logo.
It's the Ensley First Division logo.
Thanks very much, Alan. Good knowledge. Tell us more about the NBA First Division.
Before the Premier League.
There we go.
You're forgetting before the Premier League, there was a time where teams didn't need to be sponsored and everything.
Were we always sponsored by, what was before, Fox?
Kelly's?
Howie.
Which I always find funny because isn't Kelly's like when you're just going out on a night out?
It is.
That's a Paulie
Maris
Cowie face,
sort of issue, isn't it? No, Cowie was a car dealer. Yeah, a bit like Rich Warney. But it was, you know where B&Q is in Millfield?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's the big roundabout. Next to there was Cowie's. Cowie's car showroom. And that roundabout was called Cowie's Roundabout.
Is that why we got Voxies after that as well? Because I think that's around the corner from where that was.
It is just around the corner, yeah? 2 minutes away.
Well, it's obviously a local employer. I don't know why. I always thought Nissan might have sponsored us, you know.
I don't know
why that never happened. It makes sense that we made the car. It's in this fucking city. I don't know why that's never fucking manifested itself, but there you go.
I mean, it's because it's owned by a Japanese, isn't it? It's not.
Yeah.
It's not a local thing. It employs local people, of course, but I don't think it's a local thing.
But, you know, there's been car sponsors of fucking football teams. I mean, Chevrolet, name one.
I mean,
they sponsored Man U.
Man U, don't they?
I would prefer it over Daffer Better. What's this year's sponsor? I don't even know. I forgot.
This year?
You to look after the kids one.
Yes. Yeah. Spread X.
It's spread X, isn't it?
I just feel like a next season kit from Hummel and Nissan would be gleaming. It would be good kit, that way. Good sponsor.
The Hummel kits, and they are good, like, but they haven't really done much. They've basically just churned out an old one, haven't they?
Well, that's the beauty of it.
Well, they saw an opportunity. They were like, I know what we can do here. We can go into something.
Pull out a retro.
We'll just use all the nostalgia from back in the day, but we'll like release a new shirt and we'll charge 80 quid a pop and we'll make fortune. That's exactly what happened. Good luck, we're all fucking wearing them.
I think they're good quality though. If you look at the range when they go in the shop, that the range is really good. I don't want to go back to the dark days of the carry bag strip. You know what I mean? So yeah, I feel like the Hummel kits. It's come at the right time, if you know what I mean. We're in a good space.
I agree.
You know what I mean? It's sort of like come together.
Everything's like pulling in the same, like in the same, like good direction. Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like a lift.
Nice little boom.
Anyway, so really, I know we're deep into this now. I know, kind of waiting on Ben before the big chat starts. But let's do what you're drinking while we're waiting.
I've got to figure out how to get Ben in at the channel because it's been ages since I've added somebody new, and I am trying to figure that out. I've tried so hard. Shall I show you what I'm doing? Because it's just convoluted. I'll just share the entire screen. How magic is that? Look at that power of YouTube. Woo! So.
Now then, I've got to clear a button.
Oh,
look at this. Looks like Inception. Ben's here, everyone. Hooray! It is 25 to 10. We haven't talked about the 40 yet.
Right. So we've got two games to cover. The first game is...
What's the game for that?
The Stoke game.
Right, okay.
Do you want to whistle over it? Because I can whistle over it in literally two sentences. Should have won it.
I think you're the only one who watched it.
Well, I just feel like it's the inability to deal with dirty, shite type football. I feel like we're good on the floor, we're tidy, and when we come against a club who is sort of similar, we find it easier. But when the ball's lobbed in, and it's scrappy. It's just the inability to deal with that situation. Obviously, we did it much better against Sheffield near the end. But I think that's just been an ongoing theme. When clubs are, we've not back clubs, but we've done well against them, and they've resorted to just fucking launching it in. And that's why I'm always a big fan of the two big centre halves. I feel like Ballard's a big miss. A lot of Luke,
yeah.
We talk about Luke later on, but you know he's been a good centre of the club. I'm all for two fucking 6 foot plus centre halves to deal with that situation. Because for all Methven's been brilliant, he can't do it by himself all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to go so far as to say we need to drop out nine because I think he's.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
he's a good player. I'm even saying though, like, I just think. You're right, it has been a problem for us pretty much all season. We said it early doors, like when teams can't figure out a way to play around us, they just start hoofing it in. You can go back our mini podcast and you'll find us saying the same thing. And we can't really, I don't know whether we can't deal with it, but like if they're going to do it over and over and over again, there's going to come a point where the pressure gets too much. And we can't see. I haven't even seen the goal we conceded against Stoke. Ben, yeah. You watched the game, mate.
I didn't know, but I'm putting it off to like one of those smashing grabs. Like we've probably
backed it. It felt like it.
These things happen. We've done it to teams in the past. You know, we've done it to City on New Year's Day and G scored. Yeah. So these things unfortunately happen, and it's just he's probably just swung his foot at it, and it's just went in the back of the net. So.
No.
It's typical Sunderland, though, isn't it? Like, they set the gap of the day before, and then they...
All ready for the bumps, isn't it?
Yeah, trying to... Sunderland, absolutely...
Anyway, the previous took he was pretty crap.
The...
Always a shit game against Stoke, no matter what.
I think you dominated them most.
Ben, you were there? Ben?
No, it wasn't Ben.
All right, sorry, mate. You weren't there. Main says we'd reminisce about the time we went, but it wasn't even the Bet365, it was the fucking Britannia Stadium at the time.
No, I remember someone absolutely slagging Pickford off in goal right in front of us, so saying how he was a ship stopper.
Then
he down like.
BBT, that Jody Shaw thing when he's doing this.
He bounced down, say, by three rebounds in one go or something. And this
was like, yeah, he was playing for them then. Jordan Shaqiri.
That's right.
Well, I think he scored twice.
Well, yeah, that happy times, happy memories, I guess.
That day the conversation I was talking about Pickford and goal and Shaqiri playing for Stoke.
So it was 2013 then.
It was probably 10 years ago, mate.
That's 12 years ago now, mate. We're 2025. God.
Fucking hell.
Stood the test out. But yeah, I think.
Well, you've got another game against Stoke coming up, so.
That game I will be returning to live streams as well, so happy days on that one.
So I'm hoping for a draw, so I can play them one more time.
No, you don't replay them in the FA Cup anymore. It's straight through to penalties.
What a shame.
What was it? Travellers' first Stoke game? I can't remember.
We won.
We won 2-1. All right.
This game, though, we dominated them from minute one to minute 90. The goal itself, it was just the classic. We had like 25 shots throughout the entire game. Peppered the goal. Just none of them were like cutthroat enough. A couple of them half challenged the keeper, but. They were very readable, very slow, and very pop shotty. That's our issue in that Stoke game mainly.
Meander mishap.
Yeah, it was a Meander in absolute fuck
up. Like I said, I didn't watch the game, but when I went on Twitter, there was real discourse about Meander.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Meander. I think he's a good player, and he proved that he was. You know, he got man of the match yesterday. So,
He's in the book there's five points there.
So. Yeah, can I add on that though? Like, people are allowed to complain when people have poor performances. Like, why aren't we allowed to say, Meander, you were shit in this game, fix it up, and then the next game he fixes it up, and then celebrate that he did that? Like, that to me should be the nature of football. Like,
yeah, I agree. We talk about this all the time. I'll go back and say I'm not Paddy Roberts' biggest fan at all. I've been on the slating the guy because he's looked disinterested. He's crap. Like, he wants to beat 10 men. Blah, blah. He's like Jack Love. He kind of finished. But he's currently our top in terms of goal and assists contributor. So I think there's him, Isidore, and somebody else on seven.
Mundell. Mundell should be on 7 as well because he's a winger, but also he scored 4.
I'll tell you in a second. I've got a stat here.
Good lad.
Ben, you're right. So it's Patrick Roberts, Isidore, and Meander, and Job have all got 7 goals or assists. Roberts has got the best XG out of all of those, 7.5, mate. So
don't start the XG conversation while Alan's there.
But Job has got an XG of 3, and he scored 7 goals. That means the guy's scoring some fucking worldies, like.
Didn't he score from like 35 yards out and absolute rocket?
I know we're jumping ahead here, but the chance in the second half yesterday, we sort of snatched it, fell in the box, put it over the bar. He should have scored. I don't know if you've seen the replay, but the angle where they go from behind, like, he should be hitting the target at least there.
I think not hitting the target is perfect. It's perfect. I can segue straight back into the Stoke game from that. Because, like I said, we peppered the absolute shit out of Stoke. And I think they just learned from the first fixture. And I think the benefit of maybe just pure luck and resilience from a Stoke standpoint kept them in that game. And they took their one pop shot towards the end of the game. Luke 09, for me, is 100% the person to point the finger at for that fault. He gives away the ball in the CDM position and he switches, like, he's further up the pitch and there's somebody else covering as his centre back position, and it just looks disjointed, and they took advantage of it. One low driven shot, Pato offsighted. He could have saved it if he had full visibility of it, but it was just that one moment they needed to take all 3 points home. They didn't deserve it. We should have had something from it, but it's one of those ones where it's just the very stereotypical Sunderland. I know we've only lost 4 games, but that feels like we've lost 14. it felt a little bit... We're fourth.
What's the gap to third?
1 point or 2 points? Yeah. 2 points.
2 points, all right. So we were going to get a draw.
Is there anybody in the Stoke... I'm just going to quickly ask the one last question. Is anybody in the Stoke game that you think poorly performed outside of that one slip-up from Luke 09?
I didn't watch it. Alex, this is all you.
I would say the overall gameplay of everyone wasn't... The pitch, for me, the pitch isn't well looked at then. And I know that sounds a bit weird, but I feel like the pitch was just like... It was holding the ball up. Do you know what I mean? It just didn't look slick. And I feel like when we play football, a lot of it's in the feet, down the channels, quite fast. And I feel like, I don't know, it just felt heavy. The performance felt heavy and laboured. Oh, we hit the post twice. You know what I mean? We can't forget that. And if they go in, it's 1-2-0, and we're not even talking about the game, you know what I mean? We've got another good result. So I feel like the longer it went 0-0, the more I thought, fucking hell, they're going to get an opportunity, and they did. I can't really put my finger on, yeah, all right, Luke, fucked up. You know, we can't moan about, and we'll talk about Luke in the Sheffield game as well, but we can't moan about his overall performance over the last 7 years, you know what I mean? Yeah, he's having a fucking blip, but everyone has a blip. It's just the way it is, it's football.
No, I'm not saying he has a blip. I actually thought he had a half decent performance. He just fucked up in that one moment.
I'll tell you for a fact, mate, he did. According to FotMob, he got a 7.4. And we're looking at players around him. Neil got a 7.3. Hume a 7. Sturman a 6.5. All of the forwards were worse than that. He was... So, apart from Metten, he was one of the better players on the pitch.
Yeah.
So, I don't think you can... I know he made a mistake, but... You know, the stats are telling us that he's doing a good job. You know, it was a one-time little blip.
Anyone ever lapses judgment, lapses concentration.
Hmm.
The guy, I don't think you can argue about the guy's commitment. Like,
oh no,
I'll say about man of the match quickly. I'll just say, yeah, Daniel was man of the match, and he was trying to get forward. He was trying to create. He was looking all the time, but I think. The game, the Britannia Stadium, or whatever the fuck it is now, what was it, the Bex 365?
F365,
like, you know, I just, it saps the life out of everyone that goes there. I don't think we're the first to experience that. It's a shit.
I think we came out fucking 10 years old and then we went in, like.
That's why it feels like it wasn't that long ago.
Nah.
You know what I mean? So.
Just to build up the back of that, Al, yeah, he was one. If he wasn't the best player, according to the stats, the best player was Metton, but, you know, he can pretty much pick any game from the season and Metton's going to be the best player on the pitch.
Yeah.
But just looking at the other side, far and away their man of the match was the keeper, Johansson. He got 9. Like, that means he made 7 saves.
Like I said, some of them were very, very easy to save, to be fair.
The guy was fucking...
We annihilated. Yeah. We genuinely annihilated them, and they, like Ben said, it's a snatch and grab result. It's just frustrating. I think that's the easiest way to summarize it in 2 words. It's frustrating. Like, there's nothing you can do in games like that where you're constantly coming up against the bus. They learned from how we played in the game 2-3 weeks ago, and went, well, what do we do at home to deal with it?
Look at Ryan Shawcross.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Look who's managing the fucking team, Shawcross. He's a fucking defender. He's going to say, right, let's matter fucking scrappy and let's fucking lob it up top, which is pretty much what they did.
He was the Tony Pulis.
Yeah, old school Tony Pulis. Yeah.
Are you
playing
for him? What are you going to say then?
Probably was. Fucking Shawcross. Jesus Christ. I mean, I might be wrong, but he doesn't strike me as a, like, tactically astute
tactician.
Guy.
Yeah.
Lads, I worked with this good guy called Tony, right? And what he did is we just fucking hoofed the ball. And if the ball was coming towards you, you just headed it as far in the opposite direction as you could.
And to be fair, I kind of think his tactics are get ball, kick it, get ball, kick it.
he was hoof funny. That was his name, fucking Hoof Shawcross or something. But he just hoofed the fucking... In fact, I'm pretty sure, like, go back and watch Premier League years, you'll see Shawcross just fucking launching it and the whole Bet365 will be like...
I like the way Rudy described the game. He was like, yeah, we, like, our style of play was great. We absolutely battered them. It was just an unfortunate last minute goal. So, and then he instantly went, yeah, move on. So, we should have won. So, move on.
He's not as smarty, is he?
Mate, I'm upstairs to tell the man then about these smarties. Go on.
So, I found these white chocolate smarties.
White chocolate smarties. Mate, look at how big the fucking packet is.
Right. Funny thing, just decided that he loves white chocolate smarties and has raided all of them. And Andrew was really upset by them. So, in the Aldi today, they're selling them off for like 50 pence a jar.
I just packed 50 pence.
So,
yeah, how big did you pack it? 120 grams, lad. That's like 4 times normal amount of smarties.
You genuinely sound like my auntie now.
Minnie, I know you're in the land down under, lad, and you might not have white chocolate smarties. Have you had white chocolate smarties or not?
No, but I've had like a seasonal version of Sour Patch Kids, which is really weird.
Not a fan of the old sours, like you like a sour.
Well, I'd be all over that.
I wasn't a fan. Any what?
I've had a white chocolate.
Well, Aldi.
50 pence, mate.
I'll add to the list when I'm on shift tomorrow.
Doing some good work there, mate. To the northeast.
They are like 99%. I'm gonna go as far as to say 100% sugar, like, so give you some a little energy boost.
Why aye?
Ben, are you coming on camera? Or are you just gonna hide?
I'll come on camera if you want. I'm currently lying in bed, like, but.
Oh, yeah, we've had worse, mate.
That'll get it going, man.
This one's for the ladies.
Brace yourself.
Brace yourself. whilst he's figuring out how to do that, swiftly moving on. Should we talk about the Sheffield United game?
I would like to talk about the Sheffield United game. State, would you like to talk about the Sheffield United game?
Well, it's my first game, a live game we worked out in over 5 years. So it was quite nice for me. A nice little treat out.
Mm-hmm.
Go and watch.
Who were you sitting beside?
I was sitting beside Alan. Alan looked after me.
Did I? It was in between me and Crouchy. We weren't that far away, to be fair, but... what I will say, there was quite a few empty seats, which I thought we'd sell out. I thought it'd be jam packed, but it was still, I was, you know what I mean?
It was fucking freezing, man. Like,
oh, God, I was so
Christmas. Put you from the house and at the Frankie Francis stream, the half time was just them showing the snow.
It wasn't as bad as that, by the way. Like, snow on that.
The lights made it look a lot worse than it was.
Yeah.
What were the lights like? You know, I still haven't.
It was good. It was really good.
I haven't still haven't seen the lights. You know, when they did the fancy like, on and off lights. Did they play the fog on and that?
Yeah.
Sad, but we were downstairs because Crouchy wanted another pint because, you know.
Yeah, probably.
His fourth pint or something wasn't enough after he'd got on it the night before. So we missed the whole fog on light show, but you could hear it. And then, but they played the lights at the end, which was really cool. It was really good.
I think it's a bit cheesed for me. Like, I don't mind it. I get it. It's about identity and, you know what I mean? I don't know. I see what they're trying to do, but I don't know. I feel like I don't know, it's trying to be not German-esque, but you know what I mean? Like the ultra style, sort of like B4 type fair. I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to do. I sort of see, but I don't.
I can tell you what they're trying to do, mate. So there's a lot of American, pardon me, there's a lot of American influence at the club at the minute, especially with the new head of marketing and channel partners. They've got the Fanatics link in as well. So they're trying to appeal to a more Americanized audience. And obviously the stadium alight, what makes more sense to an American, where's the light show if it's a stadium alight? That's literally as basic as I think they've gone with it. So put on a light show for the stadium alight. Yeah.
I get it. Like,
I want to see it. It makes me want to go to
see it. All right. It's all right. It's trying to, like, you know, it's our roots, our industry, our history. I get it. I don't know. I just think it's a bit cheesy for me, but I'm not I'm totally bothered by it. You know what I mean? I won't be going, oh, this is shit. I just kind of, oh, yeah, it is what it is.
We can have cheese if there's cheesy chips in the stadium still, so just as long as that's...
Right, I know you're talking about this, right? But you can get, like, Korean chicken and chips at the stadium. Did you, Alan? Do you have it?
I have it every time I go in there.
It's not minute.
It's all right, but it needs to be a bit more fucking. They're a bit frugal on the sauce. The chicken's all right, but you know what I mean? I want more sauce on.
More sauce than it. Ben, did you have an opinion on the Korean chicken?
I haven't had it, so it's, you know, it's different. And I just.
It's nice.
You know?
Mate, I bet. Did you have it on?
No.
You'd like it because it's just like the Chinese chicken ball.
Yeah. Cool. She's like, yeah, I'm going to try it in 5 years' time.
Well, did you not see Alan's food and go, hey?
I tell you what,
you're struggling with a camera, lad, because I'm halfway there.
I'm still fully braced tonight.
Look,
okay.
I'll wait for Ben on the camera. The selection of booze, like Carlin, Guinness, and a shit cider, like, away. At least give us Samson or Summit. Do you know what I mean? Or a,
well, didn't they say they were partnering with Vox soon?
They definitely did say that because the guy that they were I remember I read a tweet from the I can't remember who they partnered with before Vox, but he essentially tweeted saying, I found out this morning that I wasn't going to be partnering with them anymore when they tweeted that they were partnering with Vox. And for me, you should have done that, you know. That shouldn't be happening. It shouldn't be happening on Twitter. Do you know what I mean? There should have been a conversation there. I mean, I do like Vox. Vox's tap house.
Okay, so Sits with a nice beverage.
That's always on, I think, you know.
I love it.
I'm not a fan of all those types of beers, really.
Sounds like you're fucking on the vinegar store. What are you doing, Ben?
We've got this bit out to me. Right, we're going to cut now, and when we come back, Ben's going to be on camera. Magic.
Do you know how to?
I don't know how to do, man.
Are you going to? You don't have to. Just say, oh, there you go. Way. Ah.
What's that? All right.
Ben, be real, lad. Were you naked before you came on camera?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, all right. Okay, should we talk about the Sheffield United game?
Sheffield United game, 2-1. End of the night. Happy days. Viral tweet aside,
I want to let Stace go first.
Oh, it was good. I enjoyed it. Like, it obviously been a long time since I've been to a game. I thought it was entertaining football. Like, bear in mind the last time I was, like, regularly going to games, it was that double dip, like, relegation, absolute trash. Like, and then total fell out of love with football. So, like, going back and watching, like, entertaining games, it was quite nice. I thought, like, the attacking football, the attacking side of it, really entertaining. Like, you look dangerous on a counter attack. Like, people, like, if, like, running fast, forward.
Like, so, like,
in, fast.
They call it the transition now, don't they? In the transition.
If you say so.
You know, like, part of the bus.
Aye.
Yeah.
Full low block.
Okay. I mean, yeah, like, it was entertaining for sure. Thought that side of it was good. I think the overwhelming bit, though, the first half was really good, obviously, and then the second half was just, it just felt slower. It just felt like we were inviting a lot of pressure, like, unnecessarily as well. Like, sort of not playing sensibly, just like losing the ball left, right, and centre, and then almost like just waiting to try and absorb the pressure back up.
Was that not a bit of them coming out?
Probably.
Setting off.
Yeah, probably. I mean, like, they've probably gone in at half time and been absolutely railroaded, haven't they? And being told, like, you need
to dig out in the chain you're in. You know that story about fucking Neil Warnock, where he was chasing his player around naked? Betting Wilder was on that.
No, but I do not want to put that image in my head. Thank you very much.
Honestly.
Can't say that one's entered my brain before now.
You've got the image of Warnock in there, mate. It's not getting out.
Yeah.
No, they probably got you probably right. While it was probably half time, he was like, listen, lads, should we beat
this? What the fuck is happening?
I think you made some valid points there, Stace.
I think you really do. There's a couple I want to emphasise. I think, like you said, it's a tale of two halves again for Sunderland. Mm-hmm. First half, that really entertainment spectacle going ahead, mm-hmm. rightly so, I think, as well, doing the age-old classic of falling asleep and being vulnerable once you've scored, and then them doing the same. So that spell where the three goals go in, just absolute carnage and mayhem. But I think the way we were set up was to allow Sheffield United to attack as much as they wanted to. As long as we were defensively resolute, we were getting a lot of counters, and that's how how Reggie Labrie will have identified how to break through them a little bit more smoothly. So I think it was by design that's how the game was going to go. It was just how motivated the Sheffield United players were to go against that. So yeah, I think it's just a bit of smart football from Labrie.
I think some of the you need to take some credit, lad, because we were almost playing 4-4-2 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked really good. Like, I've been sat here for a year now saying, listen, lads, 4-4-2 is finished. Like, we can't play 4-4-2. We played 4-4-2 last night and we looked mint. The two forwards, mate, Mayenda, man of the match, he was class. Also, Wilson said all season, the guy is fucking mint. Like, that second goal, mate, it was like Thierry Henry, mate. Genuinely, the way he took the ball and beat the guy with his little bit of turn of pace and then curled it in the bottom corner, man. I'm telling you, go back and watch Thierry Henry. It looks exactly like that.
Beautiful.
We need to sign him this month. Sign him on a perm.
Do we have to wait till the end of the season? Because, well, to be fair, it's all about just purely money now, isn't it? The option to buy is already there. Do we have to wait to the end of the season for all that option to buy?
I'm not sure. It usually is, isn't it, these days? It usually is. I'm not sure whether... I'm going to double-check.
If it's purely money, if it's purely money-based, it's just about the right money, and then everybody's available to be purchased, especially in football.
Just do a gentleman's handshake until the end of the season.
I don't think we need that, though. Did you watch the game, Ben?
Didn't, no. I watched it come through, though. I watched the scores come through, and I thought when 09 scored his own goal, I thought, oh, okay, that's it. We're going to get absolutely battered here.
I tell you, sorry to jump in, Ben, but like there was a lot of pressure, especially down the right hand side during that time. Everything was going. I don't know. I identified a weakness, but everything seemed to be going on that side, and that was where the ball was whipped in. And yeah, unfortunately, another own goal.
Great finish, though.
Yeah, and I'm also forgetting the penalty that he would give away as well that Pato saved.
What, the penalty?
Yeah. The penalty. Yeah, the penalty was like Luke O'Neill being silly again, pretty much. If you look at it like from minute one of last game's football to this one, it's within 20 minutes of football. Luke O'Neill's fucked up twice. But Pato saving that penalty, I think, put the game and kind of just
right.
mentality right. back in our favour.
Let's just get
go on, Alan. Go for it.
Like,
just before we go ahead, Zenit say we have a mandatory right to buy.
A mandatory right to buy.
For me, it's a no-brainer. We should buy him. I think well.
Let's exercise that mandatory right.
Right. I just want to mention Pato. Right. I think, well, I was trying to stay through the game. I say this all the time. He's got a mistake in him. And when he tried to sort of dribble it on his goal line, that annoyed me. And he's some of his distribution
he
as well.
He did it before, Al. He did it before.
No, I know. I see it all the time. I think he's all right. I think he's a canny keeper. If we go in the Premier League, do you really want him in between the fucking sticks?
To answer that question, honestly, I'd say yes. He reminds me a lot of Pickford. And you're telling me Pickford's not a shot stopper?
He just doesn't have the same distribution. That's the only
distribution.
Right, so he doesn't have the same distribution, but... So that's one thing he hasn't got, and he doesn't command his box well. That's another thing he hasn't got. He's not a big.
He
doesn't come from fucking corners. Yeah, he comes from punching that. He's a good shot.
I'll tell you where he did come from. The cross in the box right in the very end from the left hand side. He came and took it when we were under mega pressure.
Right, that's fair enough.
I
don't want to fucking quote Kane, like, but that's his job. You know what I mean? So.
Can't win.
All I'm just saying is, yeah. He's decent. He's doing all right in the league. But if we gone up, I would buy a keeper, in my opinion. Like I said this last year. He's got a mistake in him. I'm not saying he's shite. He's not shite. But going forward, it's like... realistically, can you see 09 playing centre-half in the Premier League?
No, we're not talking about 09. We're talking about
Pato. No, we're not. No, but I'm just talking about people's limitations in the side. We're doing well at the minute. We're fourth, and hopefully we're going up. But the club need to invest, and they need to stick land in the pocket, either in now or in the summer. It's inevitable. We have not got the squad to stay up if we can up. Who's to say we've got the squad to gun up? You know what I mean? Look, I hope the day, and I'll be fucking buzzing. But the club always needs to look forward. You can't just stick and say, that's it, he's good, that'll do. No, I've seen enough fucking times where Sunderland have done that and we've just gone fucking backwards. You always need to look to reinvest and get better players. Like you're saying about Isidore, let's tie him down, let's sign the lad. Do you know what I mean? Make a stance again. We want this lad to play for the club and we're going to give him this much money. That's how you progress. We're doing well at the minute, but like, I'm telling you now, you know what fans are like? Any slight sniff and we fall off. They'll get on the fucking backs. So make a stance as the club and go, right, yeah, we need a CDM. We need, I don't know, another striker maybe or a goal or whatever just to fucking solidify us going up to the Premier League.
Can I interject a little bit there on the what we need? Because we have discussed this like a lot. I think what we really need is to listen to Labrie. I want Speakman and Labrie to get in a room and Labrie dictate which players or which gaps he wants to fill rather than Speakman saying, here's another good player for you to try. Here's another good player for you to try. I want him to go, I want players in these positions. Who do you recommend? Because that's the dynamic I think we've missed.
If Labrie gets us in the automatic, or even if he gets us in the playoffs, he has earned the right to do that. Like, he's going to say, oh, you know, we weren't so good.
Maybe he is
to win. I don't know. Like,
I think he has the right to do that now anyway, regardless.
As a head coach, you don't. That's the sad thing. That's the way football's changed.
I just don't agree with that. Like, I just think, like, he's the one whose neck is on the line every time he's putting that squad out. So why is it not him that gets to pick who he's putting out? Like, he should be in that room. He should be seeing. Like, I get that that's not how it works now. Like, but I think he's got the right to do that now.
Just to go back to my one more point about depth.
Yep.
Look at that bench yesterday. Yeah, we won 2-1. Great result. Loved it. All right. You know, I haven't really analysed the match itself. You've done enough of that. But what I will say is, look at that bench. Tell me you didn't want it improving.
Oh, no. But you've got to remember, mate, we've got 10 first teamers. I'd say, well, actually, of those 10 people injured, like, we've got literally half a squad out injured.
Aha. Uh-huh. Right. So I'm gonna name you an outfield 10 of our current injured players, right?
Right.
Are you ready? Ballard.
Big Gentry miss. Seal. Go on. Seal. Enigma. Next.
Seal's not missed.
Big miss, okay. Sorry, I thought you said hit and miss.
Yeah, Ballard, big miss.
By the way, Huggins played very well if he was injured last season and scored our goal of the year last year.
He's got a long way to come back in.
He's still injured.
He's got a long way to come back.
The guy who signed in the summer, who's injured,
Brown, he's not an entity.
Rigg, injured.
Yeah, Munch,
injured. Tommy Watson, who, by the way, was our best player last month, injured.
Right, and he's still a bench player. Tommy Watson,
players who are currently injured. So yeah, our bench yet last night was weak, but it's because we've got pretty much five or six first teamers and the rest bench players.
Right, that's my point then. So,
but you can't just buy it. How can you possibly like foresee 10 injuries?
The average number of players injured across the entire 92 the football leagues is 5.7 players injured at any given time. So you can negate for 6 players injured.
I don't think we've got a squad of 22 that'll survive in the fucking Premier League. Do you know what I mean?
In the Premier League.
No, we're not, but that's the aspiration. That's the aspiration, isn't it? You're always going to improve. You've always got to improve. You can't just say, oh, you know what? If we didn't have injuries, we'd be like this. I don't give a fuck, right? Go out and invest in the players that we need to get up and stay up.
If you don't
do it now, we'll fucking struggle, like Southampton, like Ipswich. Ipswich playing catch-up. Or, do you know what? We'll try Clark. Guess what? Massive bust. Do you know what I mean? So it's got to start now. Do you know what I mean? And the intention's got to start now. I get with doing well, and I love it, but you can always improve. You know what I mean? And that bench last night, he only attacked the match up.
I was like the 85th minute, but
I tell you why, because he was looking at that bench and going, what the fuck are we doing?
84th minute.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
that's exactly what we're saying. Like, the bench was weak. He didn't want to bring them on.
Yeah. But he would have wanted to. You know what I mean? Because at times we were fucking pegged back, weren't we? Well, I tell you what, he might have looked and went, oh, do you know what? There's that fucking centre half who's fucking decent. I'll chuck him on, but he didn't have that option, did he? So, look, I love it doing well, but you've always got to try and improve. And you know what? If the club do that now in January, Max, a big fucking statement to the rest of the league and to our intentions to try and make that push and to get up this season.
I 100% get where you're coming from, Alan, but we're not unique in that every single team in this league will need to reinvest to maintain their status in the Premier League. That's just the nature of football. Like, you, not every single championship player for any of the teams, Leeds, Burnley, Sheffield United, us, Watford, Blackburn, everyone would need to buy Premier League level players when they go up. We're not unique in that. But what we need now is not to overindulge in that when we've got a squad that is competing at the top of the championship. I'd rather have us solidify where we're at as a unit, as a team, and let players, some players shine through and some of them fall through the cracks, like it naturally happens. Bennett's disappeared out off the face of the earth. You've got Roushan, who looks like he's out the door. That naturally happens with the club, but you've got like
he didn't do much,
but yeah, you see what I mean? Like they're trying. When a little bit on that one, by the way, they'll start to put a couple of players that are on the fringe into the first team squad to increase their market value or to give a little bit more. They're actually fit and running around on the pitch. So I think there's a little bit of that in the background, but I think we've got a solid squad. I think we've got a solid squad for this league, and we will need to have new players for the Premier League. Do we need them in this January transfer window? I don't think so.
I think we do.
Think as well though, like investing money now, what if you don't make it? Mm-hmm. And then wash you with massive rain
then, it's next season. Yeah, but it's next season. Then you're looking again, right? Okay, if you don't go, it's the push next season, or we can keep the momentum going. You can't just stay with this, you know, the turnaround.
I don't think anyone's saying we just stay how we are. Of course you're always gonna want to look to improve. But I think we're in a situation where we played a team who were exceptionally good. Who've just come down from the Premier League. We've got a lot of players on Premier League wages. We've got a lot of money in the bank. Who can afford to have a bench of 10 players who are all Premier League or top end of the championship quality. We're not like that. We're coming up the other way. Like, there's a bit of disparity in terms of, I know like we're only one league players apart, but in terms of the trajectory, it's different, isn't it?
And I also want to add the good old verbiage. We're in a position of power in the purchasing cycle. We're not desperate for somebody. Like, if somebody comes in and there's a right offer there, by all means, get the person in.
You know, we haven't brought the fucking FFP rules because we haven't spent any fucking money, really.
And I think we've done it now. I will give KLD his praise here. He has spent the money or invested it wisely over the long term. Like, you look at a couple of blips of a seasons and stuff like that.
I'm not doubting the club's your plan. All I'm saying is, I'd like the warm fuzzy that this is the year that we're going to push, because who's to say next? We're in such a good spot now. You know what football's like next season? What happens if it's fucking like the season before? The words fall off. You know what I mean? Now's the time to fucking make sure.
Go on, Ben.
I think it's because when we got promoted to the championship, NK Dons were finished third, they were 1 point off second place. Obviously got beaten in the semi-finals, then the next season they got relegated to League Two.
I'm 100% mate, I hear what you're saying, but there's a bit of a difference of how we're currently run and the infrastructure that we've got versus MK Dons.
I'm just saying anything can happen next season.
Yeah.
We're all got different opinions.
Yeah, and I think it's the same on that one though. It's the all or bust with MK Dons. It was the all season, and then they went bust. I don't think we're in a position where we need to throw everything at the apple cart to push up. I think it would be lovely if we did. Don't get me wrong, Alan. Like, it would be really nice if we threw money at players and bridged the gaps.
Forest did that when they got promoted to the Premier League. Yeah. They spent money like it was going out of fashion. And look where they are now. The fourth. The Europa League spots. The flyer. Chris Wood's a football guy. He's class.
That's what you have to do now to survive in the Premier League. You have to spend hundreds of millions. They've even finished 17th. And then the next season, spend hundreds of more millions. And then, that's just the way the Premier League is now.
That's what I mean. I don't want to be a fucking Southampton or a fucking Ipswich or a fucking Wolves or, you know what I mean? I want us to get up. I know if we get up, survival is fucking is the number one goal if you go up, and not to be embarrassed in the derbies. That there's the two things.
I just feel this is a very premature conversation. You know, we're 6 months premature. Out.
Everyone does everyone forecasts. What do you want me to say? Let's hope we do well the next game. I fucking watched these fuckers long enough to know what I want to see. You know what I mean? And I'm too fucking old to be going, do you know what? I'll wait a couple more seasons. I want to see the cunt now. Do you know what I mean? So, sorry for you. You've got another 20 years on me. So, I don't know. I'm eager for us to go up and to do well. That's all I'm saying.
I think we all are. It's just like you've got to. For me, I want to see where we are 2-3 months time, and then I'll start talking about what happens if we go up. Just to settle around back all the way back around to the original point.
Yeah.
According to Frotmore, Pato actually did really good. He got 8.3, and Meenda was man of the match with 8.5. So. Yeah.
He's going to get a big score because he saved a penalty. And it was a fucking shite penalty, by the way. Look. Gone back.
He also got Championship Team of the Week for a penalty save.
I know Alan doesn't necessarily like him, but I think there's someone there. Like, I think he's a good keeper. Like,
I'm not saying he's shit. I'm just saying... You know what I mean? Would you have him in the
Let's put it
that way. My answer to that question is still yes.
Right. Is your average, right? Is he above average or below average?
He's average.
He's exactly in the middle, average.
He's average for me, yeah.
If he was an average keeper, Al, we'd be fucking conceding a lot more than we are.
Is that not part of
the back line? Yeah, but we've got a good back line. Do you know what I mean?
I mean,
we've got a good defence. When Metham is literally mopping up everything, when Ballard's in with him, you know what? We look solid. So Potter's got less to do. You know what I mean? Pickford gets good, you know. When you see Pickford now and he plays well, he's playing well because Everton is shite and everyone's fucking bombarding his fucking goal and he's, you know what I mean? He's getting good stats. Look, all I'm saying is, look, Potter's doing all right. I'll finish on this, but I think we need another keeper in the future. But go on. That's it.
Matt Young, by the way, is doing class out on loan. He's in the past 5 games, 5 clean sheets, and they've won all 5.
Thank you for doing loan shark in such a short time.
He's doing a mini loan shark. He's doing mint again. So, like I say, last 5 games, 5 clean sheets, 5 wins. Because he's only 18.
Born
2006. So, you know, it's not as if we don't have, you know, some more decent, highly rated keepers in the back.
I felt like we were seeing last night when we had like the corners and the set plays and that, you just look nervy. Like, it just doesn't feel secure. Like, it's going to be dealt with very well sometimes. It just seems to like ping ball and just be a bit chaotic.
There was a few times like that, wasn't there? That one in the first half, or was that Luke scored the own goal?
Mm-hmm.
I think
there was a couple in the second half.
Where it just was pinballing on the box.
You just don't know. Like, it just felt like no one really took command of the box and just got rid.
We missed Ballard. Yeah. Massively.
Yeah.
Look, them two were the go-to centre-halves. I've been saying this all season. 2 6-foot-plus centre-halves, Ballard and Metham, ideal. Look, I've got a lot of time for Luke, and he does well. Sometimes his decision making, it's not at the next level. He's fucking bit. He's doing class. He's been a great servant of the club, but for me, the parents fucking Metham and Ballard all day long.
You know, it sacrifices a bit of pace, though.
I don't give a fuck, mate. But that's when it gets messy, and you've got two big lads at the fucking back. Metham can't do it all himself. He's practically running the back four, and he's on because I'm going to be honest with you, Sirkin and Hume. Sirkin hasn't looked great since his injury. Hume played really good against Sheffield, but the game before against Stoke, he weren't great. Like, Metham's holding that back line together, and when he's with Ballard, we look fucking solid. I just feel like that's the way I like my centre-half to be, like traditional. You know, some people might not. Some people might like a Mascherano-type player. I'm not saying 09's like Mascherano, like, but yeah, I'm just saying, you know what I mean, a smaller, more agile centre-half, if you like. But then you look at the Premier League, and you look at fucking Man U, and who's got that? Martinez. He's just fucking joining and fucking plough through for a fucking header. Do you know what I mean? So
that's what in relegation battle.
They are, but that's just an example of like why I like big centre halves, you know what I mean? I just feel more secure, and maybe that gives the keeper more confidence when you've got two big lads in front of them.
Well, look how good we're with Cornyn and Cabal. You know, two absolute units at the back.
Yeah,
you know.
Are you forgetting about the one and only Nairo Nosworthy?
He had some pace to him. Listen, no disrespect to Niall in this chat, lad.
But he's just a unit, any classic centre back.
I'm going to the Italian. Big Niall. Corners this season, also shit taking corners. I watched the Blackburn game.
Yeah. So just above that, though, isn't it?
Short corners,
I'm saying.
Actually, like,
but it was often nothing.
Do you think we need a set piece coach? Is it not you, Ben? Weren't you meant to the Javelin?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, yeah.
There you go, Ben. Javelin. Get yourself out of summer, lad. You are the new Javelin coach.
I am the new Roy Jala.
So fucking muscles, lad. That's what it is.
So you're saying you're a really good tosser there, then, Ben?
I was really good at tossing, yeah.
What was this? I've got two more questions for the podcast, by the way, just to get through. I want us to do the predictions for the Portsmouth game coming up, but also New Year's resolution-esque for the Sunderland, for the club. What is the goal for the year for Sunderland? What's the way I asked the question, sorry, on Twitter to the other podcast, What the Fork, was... No, this is a different tweet. Not calling that out. I asked them, what is the lowest acceptable position from Sunderland fan base at the moment? I'm saying anything less than playoffs is an absolute tragic end to the season. So I think playoffs or above is where I'm expecting us to finish now.
Agreed. So at the start of the season, we're like, let's see where we are for Christmas and I'll assess. Well, obviously it's now 2025. If we do not finish in the playoffs, it is going to be, like you're saying, mate, a travesty. If we finish seventh, we're going to feel like we might as well have finished fucking 17th. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be a waste of the season. Absolute waste.
We are within touching distance. We are within 2 points of second, all right? And, you know, if how many draws we had? Eight draws. Five in a row, right? If you convert one of those draws to a win, we are now sitting second place.
Yeah.
So to go from that position to be so within touching distance to not finish in the playoffs, I think would be unacceptable.
Also, the gap between us and seventh now is too high.
I also think that the top three will be the top three come the end of the season. And I think they'll have just enough more on us. I hope I'm wrong.
I think the win last night helped, like.
It was a bit 6 points, wasn't it? Like, you know, you get 6 points on the relegation bar.
When it comes down to the nitty gritty, I think they're all very recent ex-Premier League teams.
They're all recently failed teams in the Premier League, though, as well. Just because they were in the Premier League doesn't mean they were successful. they've come down to the Championship for a reason.
Yeah, but Ben makes a valid point. They've probably got bigger squads, more money, like more money behind them.
The
like,
games.
They can attract the better players, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So for us to be up competing with them, like I said, going back to the trajectories that I was just talking about, you know, that's, you know, you've got to give credit to KLD and Reggie for getting us there. Now, I think to answer your point, Smitty, if it's got to be sixth place or above, I'd love to finish in the automatics. I'm with Alan. I don't want to go through the playoffs. Looking at the other teams that are in and around, Borough, West Brom, Blackburn, Sheffield United, all of those games are going to be tough.
You don't want to play any of them in a playoff, really.
Nah.
I like how northern the playoffs are looking, though. It's quite a...
I agree. Nice, yeah, it's class, isn't it? Watford and eighth are like the only non-northern team.
To be fair, there were times where there was Burnley in third, Blackburn in sixth, and us and Borough fourth and fifth. So if that finished there, it'd be two, like four massive derbies. Just like just to get in the playoff final would be an absolute carnage.
It made Sky Sports would be like rubbing their hands, like counting all the dollars, and then they'd be fucking laughing their heads off.
That'd be fire sticks getting swirled everywhere.
Oh yeah,
that's it. Yeah,
better be on the prowl.
We're playing Burnley, aren't we?
Portsmouth next, who are currently sat in 21st, and then the Burnley game is after the Stoke Cup game.
Aye, so we get Stoke in the cup and then the next league game is Burnley.
Yeah, there you go.
There's another 6-pointer.
I would sacrifice, would play our fringe players against Stoke, like, because we're not going to win the FA Cup. Just play our squad player.
I don't know. After that, after that 1-0 loss, I want us to absolutely slap them silly. I bend them over the knee and like smash them 8-0. They deserve to absolutely get. Sorry.
I'd happily get beat 3-0 just playing our squad players.
If I could guarantee a win against Burnley by losing to Stoke, I would snap your hand off immediately. Yeah.
We're not going to win it. It's not our priority.
That's huge.
Yeah. But I think we're jumping too far ahead.
Portsmouth, they won their last game 4-0, which is obviously really good, but they're sat just outside of the relegation zone on 23 points. If they didn't win that game, they would be sat second bottom. Horrific defensively. They've conceded 40 goals. The thing they've got going for them is going forward, they do seem to find the net a lot more often than the teams around them. So I wouldn't say discount them for like just pure underdogs because they're at the bottom half the table, but you've just got to take it a pinch of salt. As long as we defend well against them, we've won the game. Or like just player versus player, we're a better squad. We're a better team, yeah. Better squad. We should be beating them. So I don't want to sound overly confident, but my prediction is going to be a 3-0 Sunderland win. I'm happy with a 1-0 win. I'm happy with any win, but I think we should be having a confident display against them.
I'm thinking a comfortable 3-0 win.
Man, I wish I had yours confidence. Like, yeah, you're right. They are 21st and we are 4th. And yeah, you're right. They concede a lot of goals and we score a fair amount of goals. But I just don't like Portsmouth. I feel like they fuck us over at every opportunity.
Portsmouth at home.
The
reverse fixture was a 3-1 away win.
We should win on paper, right? So we should win on paper. I just feel like Portsmouth always fuck us over. Like in League One, they fucked us over at every opportunity. Like,
yeah.
So
they were the bogey team in League One.
They were the bogey team, mate. You're right, yeah. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we fucking smash them. We should do. I'm going to go for a more conservative 2-1.
2-1, okay. Again, like I said, any win's a good win for me, but yeah, why not? Let's go for it.
Couldn't tell you. I will go with 3-1 to us.
The literal same as what we did there.
Who's going to score?
Oh, wait, man.
We usually do who's going to score. We just haven't done it in this instance.
Now, to be fair, the last goal scorers were an own goal, Mundell and Brown. But Brown wasn't Brown's goal. Like he had it on the, that was on the line. Somebody else was about to score. Patrick Roberts was about to assist, and he like cut out the next person to take out that.
I'm going to go for.
Okay, so 3-0 for Smithy, 3-0 for Ben, 2-1 for me, 3-1 for Stace. Yeah. Alan?
Well, I'll start off by talking about where I think we should be, and or where we, you know, I think second is achievable. I don't want to go through the playoffs. It's fucking horrendous. So, I don't know. I just want a more solid second half of the season where we're not, you know, conceding last minute goals, and that we did that against Sheffield, and we keep that momentum sort of going and the sort of resolute sort of defending and keep switched on. As far as Portsmouth goes, I want to win. Like, I feel like we should be beating them at one. That, I mean, where are they fucking languishing in the bottom half?
Just outside the playoffs. Just outside the relegation zone.
Yeah, so we should be beating these 2 or 3-0. And, you know, let's start off, you know, as we did in Sheffield, just another competent performance and a fucking win. We should be wanting to win every one game now to give us the best chance of going up on it, man. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'd rather it did.
I think it's possible, mate. It's just we've gone from the position of power, what was it, in October, And then now in November with those draws, we took the control back into the top three favourites. So we're kind of hoping that they do us some favours along the way. Yeah, top two would be nice.
I think we just got to focus on ourselves. The rest is outside noise, right?
All right, Michael.
Yeah, man.
Stay still and understand the reference.
Do you understand the outside noise reference?
Yeah.
What?
Andrew?
Alan?
Yeah? What?
Have we just lost all trail of what conversation was happening there now because of the outside noise?
I made my point. We need to be beating Portsmouth 2-3 now. And second, I want to go up automatically. I don't want the fucking playoffs. Let's have a fucking more solid second half of the season.
I think looking at the second half of the season versus the first half of the season, obviously it's been a relatively successful first half of the season. I want to keep that going. If there was something I'd want to improve, and I know I keep coming back to it, but there was a period where we drew fucking 5 in a row, and if we just converted a few of those draws to wins, we'd be sitting even prettier than we are right now. So in the second half of the season, let's continue being, you know, reasonably defensively solid, and let's try and convert some one of those draws to wins.
I think we're gonna end there.
Like, it's not gonna get better than that, is it?
No. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for following us. This been a pleasure.
Thank you. Welcome along. Welcome anytime.
Thanks. Maybe in 5 years' time when I get back to another game.
Yeah, that'd be good.